The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Yeah, these guys are going to mean a lot to me as long as I'm coaching here, this first group, because this is going to be the group that had to go through the growing pains of change and everything. And without really good leaders and really good seniors, that wouldn't have happened.
Welcome to it, weekend edition, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Brandon Vogel. Let's get the roll call out of the way early. Cardiac Katie is wrestling with and winning the Real Red Reaction banner outside here, the top floor of the Rail Yard balcony. We're here down at the Rail Yard at the Hail Varsity offices. Second consecutive week, we've made the business decision to stay indoors and get rolling, getting you ready for Nebraska, Michigan State on Senior Day. Buckeye Joe is, well, he's screaming for more fireball. God love him. We want to hear from you. Can join us this morning, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. 80s action star Colton Stone, nice and cozy back at the studios. Folks, you need to come out, need to be loud, and fire up and cheer on this group of seniors as it is that day at Memorial Stadium where you get to say thank you and get to say goodbye one more time to a group of kids that have gone through some ups and downs and some downs and ups as they try to pay it forward and put that foundation, which they have, attitude and effort in cement for Nebraska, future Nebraska football teams. We say hi to Brandon Vogel this morning. Vogues, thanks for popping in. We'll no doubt be going 15 different ways with what could and may happen with this ball game. But let's start out with some of the seniors that come to mind. Three Nebraska kids for me, Mick, Gifford, Foster, and a generational talent in Stanley Morgan Jr. I'm anxious to see how they do and what they do today. Lots going to be on the defense today against a very, putting it nicely, sputtering Spartan offense. Meanwhile, the Nebraska offense has been on fire the last several football games.
Yeah, you know, those that senior group you mentioned, those three Nebraskans sort of lead the way. You've been able to see their leadership throughout. Honorary Nebraskan Tanner Farmer kind of fits in that group as
well. Didn't mean to leave him out. He's phenomenal.
No, I mean, it's tough. You know, you could really go through all 19 of them, and you would be. It wouldn't take us long to immediately identify probably their major contribution to the program and leave off a bunch of stuff that people never saw. Mm-hmm. And you saw this week that Scott Frost, how much, I mean, every senior class is going to mean something to a coach, you know, but it started a couple weeks ago when he started talking about this group and what they meant. You know, the fact that things are going to get really fun here really soon, you know, to paraphrase him. And those guys aren't necessarily going to reap all the rewards of that, but I think they'll be finally remembered, you know, 3-4 years from now when Nebraska is where I think it's going. People won't forget those guys.
I go back to a story I heard, and a lot of us have heard in Bible school, about Moses. And Moses got his friends and relatives to the promised land, but he didn't get to go into the promised land. And that's kind of how maybe you look at this senior group when you put down the foundation of Mr. Mark Kranak is making his way in. We love Mr. Oh, his hair looks gorgeous today. But that's kind of how you hurt for these seniors because, man, they next year, I mean, everyone's already talking about next year, about, wow, what's 19 going to be like? These guys really did the work to get it in the proper space.
Yeah, and, you know, Nebraska's defense is, I think, clearly going to be the topic of the offseason. I expect people to be like, the offense is good. Adrian's back. Got some running backs. You know, you've got some key pieces to replace there too. But the optimism will be off the charts on that side. And I think most of the questions will surround the defense. And when you start to look at it and look at some of the seniors that are playing their final home game today, you've got a lot of holes to fill. And the numbers aren't what anybody wants them to be. You know, I think Nebraska fans might chafe at them more than the coaching staff does a little bit. But to be clear, like, Eric Shenander doesn't want to be out there giving up nearly 6 yards of play. His first year at UCF, they were under five. So, you know, we've talked a lot in recent weeks about, like, what's the ceiling for this defense? Is it just going to always be this way? Not necessarily. Like, I think there are gains to be made, but they've got a bunch of holes to fill next year.
They do. Kranak, what's a good word, brother?
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of good words. I mean, let me try to think of my favorite word. Is that maybe where we should start?
Yeah,
let's do that. Is there a word to describe this class?
Flugelbinder.
Flugelbinder?
Just kidding. That's really not one of my favorite words. But you hit on something specifically with defense that I think I wonder if we talk enough about. Is it the expectations that they have set for defense are pretty low, right? Like, aren't they just sort of
Is that because of what they got?
Well, I you know, you would have to think so, because it's – I wonder if they look at it and they say, what are these guys really capable of? I mean, if Chinander and Frost are out there saying, look, we want to hold people to 20 points a game and we want to get, you know, 3 turnovers a game and 5 sacks and kind of all these ridiculous gaudy numbers, the team is going to fail at achieving those goals regularly. So they come out and just say, don't worry about it so much. Kind of like,
just go make plays.
Kind of like, it's okay, Johnny, pat him on the butt. Be like, just go out and, you know,
give us
your
best.
Don't be horrific. Without saying that, you know, but I think they have to say that this year.
Sure.
They have to. And we've talked about it so often. It's, you know, you look on the defensive side of the ball and who's a surefire NFL guy?
You've got guys that'll get to camp, but
right.
You don't have draft picks right now. We'll hear from Lamar Jackson in 15 minutes. He has said he's coming back for his senior season. He said that to us, and some Nebraska fans are like, well, yeah, you're coming back for your senior season, brother. But
like everybody was on pins and needles for that one.
Right. And I mean, but the way he's kind of flipped the script, he's kind of emblematic of the defense. You see potential. You know there's talent. There's a reason they got recruited to Nebraska to play at a Big Ten level. And then you have the execution part of it after the understanding and buy-in comes. And what you asked about, you know, what's kind of the bar? Don't be horrific, right? Well, they haven't been horrific. There's just been parts that Chenander's been a straight arrow about. Like, yeah, some of the run fits, mess. Yeah. And the tackling at times has been a mess. And that's just something that I don't get to watch practice. Not many of us do. So I don't know if that's just something that they're still drilling and they're still messing up on. Hey, look, I mean, you want to play that perfect football game knowing you never will on each side of the football. What you can focus on and you can see trending is, what is it, 14 turnovers the last three games? Mm-hmm. I mean, that is where they're going to hang their hat.
Sure.
That's their identity. They're not great against the run. They're not phenomenal against the pass. But collectively, we are going to go strip the football. We're going to go pick the football off. We are going to make a splash play or two and swing momentum and get the ball back for our offense. That's always been constant.
Yeah.
Their message has been go get the football. They have done that very, very well recently, and that's something to take away and move forward. If push comes to shove and third and long's been a bugaboo, the fourth quarter run game against Ohio State wasn't great. A.J. Bush was phenomenal against him, and A.J.'s a special athlete.
He had big gaps to run through, though.
He did.
He did.
But the defense still found a way. They settled in. They made some game-changing plays, and they got the football back to the offense to get some breathing room.
You know, I think part of the defense right now, too, and it kind of goes against what you hear a lot with, you know, the defense being ahead of the offense whenever there's a scheme change or something, but there's a bit of a robotic thing going on with some of the defense, too. You don't see a lot of guys playing I guess, freely.
I see Mo, and that's about it.
Yeah, quote unquote, with her hair on fire. Mm-hmm. You just don't see a lot of that. You know, and you think back to. I don't think this.
It's
takes,
better.
Yeah, it is. I don't think this takes, by the way, an influx of where you need to get 11 new dudes. I think you have a lot of competent defenders mm-hmm. right now, but you need to sprinkle in a David or a Gregory or a Sue, right? Like, you need somebody
there. So Kranach's just asking Santa, so we're clear,
well,
about a first-round Hall of Fame
well,
JUCO or four-year kid to find his way to Lincoln. I love it.
But that's what I'm – name a great defense that doesn't have one of those guys at least.
On a, yeah,
you know, somebody well, like that.
For the way they play, I was talking to Derek Peterson about this yesterday. Like, I think if they can be a secondary lead-led team, like, that kind of gives them the best chance of success. Mm. You look at UCF, you know, they sent Hughes to the draft last year who was a transfer. I think they had somebody else go from the secondary. There was a guy, you know, this year that I voted as for an All-American for the football writers. So they've been good in the secondary. You know, Trey Neal, a guy here came here and played every game, was effectively going to lose his job there from, you know, what we heard from the Orlando reporter. So if they get that part of it, like, I just don't know. You know, the defensive line dominance that you see with Clemson and Alabama is awesome. That clearly works. I just don't know how likely you are to get that at Nebraska. You can get a couple of those guys, you know, and Sue, Crick, you've had some, but getting four of them or three of them is tough.
How consistently can you get that guy at that front level? And football is shifting, right? And you're going to have teams that aren't Clemson or Alabama fluctuate. Michigan, as good as they are this year, it took them to finally get a transfer quarterback, and they've always built up on the defensive side of the football. Defensively, they were great 2 years ago. Last year, not so much because guys went to the NFL. Ohio State, they're finally feeling the effects of multiple first-round draft picks the last 3 years. Sure. They've had issues in their secondary. Yeah. Michigan State, their defense, I don't know that you got a surefire first-rounder, but you got a bunch of dudes that come to work every day and love the challenge of literally having to pitch a shutout every game. Yeah. And then there's even Wisconsin. If we look around the league, they are probably feeling the effects of some down recruiting. That's what Coach DiNardo told us on Thursday when we talked to him about the West. And they've been through a bunch of coordinators.
Right.
Not that their current coordinator's bad, Leonard. He's really talented.
Well, but they didn't have a lot of experience coming into that.
But they lost 8 starters. Yeah. And Wisconsin has always kind of plugged and played this year, and their defensive line's been an issue. That's one area they weren't able to make it up. So Nebraska is not unique to having some warts. And to their credit, they have done a great job of focusing and accentuating the positive and finding what they can go do. They can be pretty good most of the time situationally against the run. They can figure a way, and they've gotten better at getting off the field on third down. And now they are absolutely 18 to 22 to 23 year olds, man, find a way to seize Mo. Find a way to get momentum back on your side. And how you do that is through special teams and forcing a turnover on defense, and they've been outstanding at doing it. And it's really made this thing and Nebraska's own momentum kind of kick up and a chance to finish out. That's what's so important about today is not only sending these seniors out right, but getting another win. And it is so important. Nebraska's been right there against some big names and brand names this season. We talked about how murderous the schedule was going to be walking into 2018. It has been every inch of that. They have gotten stronger, this football team, as the year's gone on. But now it's time to take another step, and we spend a lot of time talking about steps in this process. But go get a brand name that, even though they're 6-4, there's respect when you beat a Michigan State team. There's respect if and when you go to Kinnick and get a win, because you have good feelings. You've seen progress. The offense is on fire. The defense is improving. And it's been because of these seniors and this coaching staff. Now go get it today at home one more time for these kids that have been through hell and back, and then finish it right and get to 5-7.
Man, it's funny that you just called Michigan State a brand name, because and you're right, but I do remember on this very show, I don't know, 6 years ago.
It's hard to call them that.
7 years ago.
Because we walked in, and I don't mean to speak for you, but me, I walked into the Big Ten going, Nebraska's too good for this league.
Yeah, it's, you know, you
arrogance,
would,
and that was my bad.
Right. You would look at it at the time, and we would have the discussions about who is in Nebraska's peer group, right?
Well,
and Michigan,
Minnesota?
And it bugged me. It bugged me that Michigan State was mentioned in the same breath. I'm like, yeah, they have a good defense from time to time, but shut up. They are not in Nebraska's peer group. They're not even – come on. Now you look at it, and that's a program you are looking up at.
You're trying to get there.
And you could say that about probably five teams in the Big Ten, definitely four, Michigan State being one of them. And Wisconsin, yeah, it's five. There are five programs in the Big Ten: Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Wisconsin, Michigan State.
I would add two more. I think Iowa and Northwestern.
I'm not ready to do that yet.
Well, when's the
I'm
last,
not ready to do that yet.
Okay,
but you're right.
When's the last time you beat them consecutively?
But I think the problem, the reason why you can never say that about Northwestern is because it's like they sort of defy the odds on a week-to-week basis. You know, like they're
counting cards at the blackjack table and not getting caught.
Yeah, you're sort of like, they still haven't lost? Like, what? Look, how many games have they won in the Big Ten now? They have lost them one and of their last...
They have won 13 out of 14.
Come on. I mean,
and the only other two teams to do that in Power 5, say it with me, Bama and Clemson.
Oh, they're going to win the West. They're averaging 23 points a game right now.
Okay.
We were bitching about Nebraska averaging 22 last year in the Big Ten West.
Could have won the division.
Yeah, damn it.
You know, and just to go back about what Brandon was saying about the secondary maybe being a strength, I know we've talked about this before too, but when you watched UCF, that jumped out at you.
They tackled.
Like, you don't notice. I don't notice anyways watching football from time to time a position group that often. I mean, you do some. Clemson, Bama, you notice their defensive line, of course. You are so plus with the secondary and the way that they play in the secondary that it just gives you so many other advantages. I mean, you're plus in run defense because of those guys, because even your 182-pound corner is going to stick his helmet into a 230-pound back and not think twice about it, you know? They sort of set the tone for the entire defense. And Nebraska they haven't had that level of aggressiveness. I do like what I see out of Boodle. I think he can get there.
I like how Lamar's playing a lot. And, man, if he can channel games that are the magnitude of Ohio State and play that well where he's got five tackles, where he has like a game-changing pick.
Yeah.
Where Ohio State's driving down to take the lead to start the third quarter and regain game control. He makes that play because he watched film and studied. He made a check with Williams, the safety, played off, baited Haskins, interception. And then a series or two later, dude lowers his shoulder and smokes the ball carry and forces a fumble. Nebraska doesn't get on it because it goes out of bounds, but he has that ability.
You know, and it's one of those things, too, where Nebraska is probably not going to be built on the impact freshman or the impact sophomore. You'll get that from time to time. You'll get an Adrian Martinez. Good luck finding another one in the next decade. It's probably not going to happen.
That's very fair.
Right?
Yeah.
It's going to be built on guys like Jackson, who progressively get better. And by the time they're juniors and seniors,
development,
are really confident. They're physically developed. They know the scheme up and down. And I've just noticed, like, with fans, with message board chatter, Twitter chatter, people are so quick to dismiss some of the freshmen and sophomores. Like, if they're not ready to go now, then it might be over for them. It's like, no.
Give them time.
Calm down. The kid's 19 or 20. He hasn't redshirted. Like, just give him a little bit. You know?
And you know who knows that better than anybody? His head coach, his position group.
Mm-hmm.
They are so fair and diligent about when to put a kid in versus just rushing him. And look at Miles Jones as an example. I know he got ding.
I thought he was going to be the X factor. It's like, calm down.
But
the kid's 18.
They waited. Yeah. They let him kind of go, wow, that guy's got to stop and start. I wish my wife didn't had running the way. But they weren't rushing it. They're comfortable enough with their own judgment, knowing the development And they're even kind of couching Maurice Washington. As good as he's been this year, they're letting you know what he's going to become with a year with Zach Duvall and how much better he can get. So Coach Frost and his staff have a great feel for when to play a kid, making sure he can be put in a position to succeed. I mean, they could have probably rushed Adrian out there against Troy. Let's be straight. They didn't. I mean, they want to win as bad as anybody, but they're patient enough to make sure a kid's ready, either health or mentally or physically. They're not just throwing kids out there. Back to Lamar for a second. It probably wasn't real fair to play Lamar as a true freshman.
Oh, no.
And say, go play corner and play the majority of snaps at corner, even though you've never done it.
His bowl game performance against Tennessee was just like...
wasn't fair to him. He's better than that. Well, and then what's that do to your confidence?
Yeah.
You look at a guy, a senior playing his last game today, Dedrick Young. He had to play right away.
Yeah.
Was that in his best interest?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Great point. And what you're talking about is a Jackson, Young, where it's pretty clear it's not necessarily a physical issue with those guys. Young,
get it down.
Young looks like he's carved out of a linebacker like template book or something, right? Like, he looks exactly like what you would want. He runs like you would want. Rude has talked about how he covers, which is that's an awesome attribute to have, for especially if you're playing in the middle, if you're able to cover well. It's clearly been sort of a mental thing with him. Definitely a mental thing with Lamar. What's the commonality? Those guys played probably before they were ready to do so. And it's hard to climb out of that.
I mean, you got to take the on-the-job training a bit with a grain of salt, what they are going to be versus what they're showing you in the present time. And let's not forget, as we talk seniors in this group that signed up for Bo, got Mike, and ended up with Frost, you have a secondary that has been through five position coaches.
That is crazy.
You have a defense that have been through three coordinators.
Yeah.
Yeah,
three. I think you're counting that right.
Four coordinators.
Yeah.
Right?
Is that
Don't
right?
do it this. Yeah,
because. For the fifth-year seniors,
you got Bo and Pooch, and then Banker,
Diaco.
And then Diaco, and now you have Chin.
Jeez. That cycle has to snap, and it's pretty clear it's snapped.
Thankfully.
Because the other thing, like Chenander or not, people probably aren't going to be beating down his door to steal him right now. So you're probably going to have him for a little bit. I'm not saying that to knock the guy, but I'm just saying.
I think he's done. And you know, this is probably – this isn't hot take. This isn't, you know, wake-up juice gone wrong. I think he's done a hell of a job with keeping these guys engaged, keeping these guys confident, keeping these guys – moving forward, because you could have stalled and hit a roadblock at Michigan or against Northwestern. This team has been so used to tapping out mentally. For the fact he's not only got him to respond, but get better is incredible. I mean, and I don't like seeing Nebraska give up 35 like the next guy. But that said, it can always be worse, and you've seen a lot of worse. So I want to step back and say, man, we know it's not your finished product. Good on you for what you've gotten out of these guys, because it has been very, very trying on the defensive side of the ball, and they are finishing with a better trend.
What's interesting to me about Chenander, there was a great detail in Derek's story in the October issue about sort of the Oregon influence on Coach Frost. Chenander was an offensive guy. He was coaching tight ends at Northern Iowa, and Chip Kelly said, hey, come coach defense for me. And he didn't want to do it. He's like, no, I'm an offensive.
Oregon calls. He's like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable.
And he thought, okay, I'll go do that, and then I'll be back on offense. So I wonder if there's something interesting there. And, like, being an offensive guy, he sees, like, just how powerful this offense is and can be. He's not Bud Foster, you know, a guy who's lived his entire life just defending things. Like, I'm sure if you ask him to pass the ball, he's like, no, I'm not going to do that because it's my job to defend. I'm not allowed to give you what you want. Chenander, you know, I think he just has a different understanding of how this whole thing snaps together. So as long as his boss is happy with him, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah. The
other side of that, Charlie McBride, longtime O-line coach at Wisconsin. Mike Webster, the great Steeler, was his kid. Yeah. Well, T.O. says, my man, I want you to come coach defense. It's like knowing your enemy.
Yeah.
How are they going to come at us with a run block scheme? And then how do you defeat that? Back to the Chenander point, he knows where offenses want to go, and he'll know how to counter it on the defensive side of the ball. I think that's the approach.
He was an offensive lineman, you know. That's kind of where he came from, you know. And I think when you look at it, and he said this before, like, if I wanted to be a defensive coordinator and give up 24 points a game, like, this isn't the place for me to do it. Like, this isn't paired with this offense. That's not how they're designing
it. It's a hard ask.
Yeah.
I do wonder what has happened a little bit, and maybe Colorado was just an outlier because Colorado's turned out to not be very good.
They're a different squad because of injury now.
But what has surprised me is, for the most part, Nebraska can't get pressure with four, for the most part, and so they have to bring somebody. I don't know if it's the blitzes that he's calling, maybe they're telegraphing it too much, but Nebraska's blitzes get stoned. I mean, really stoned. You see a guy coming, it gets picked up, that guy is stoned. It's not working at all, right? Like, the blitz is, save for, like, Doman, Ohio State, where he just, you know, he sold it or didn't sell it.
Which was new.
Right, which was a new thing. He got there free, but they're not beating blocks. You know what I mean? Like, when the plus guy is coming, he's very rarely beating blocks. Gifford does from time to time.
So does Mo when they loop him on the outside.
That's
a personnel thing.
I guess that's the question. Is like, how come those aren't?
It's a personnel thing.
Or is that Chenander telegraphing it too much, being too obvious in the situations of who they're bringing and when? I just know when you see that extra guy coming, you see him sort of as a missile that just gets thudded and doesn't. It doesn't actually help at all. And then sure enough, the team is able to convert it usually in the area that is vacated by that blitz.
I think it's a little bit of scheme too. Like, I think if you go back and watch that game, you'll see, and you know, I don't know defensive football well enough to tell you what they were doing, but it was a little more exotic and risk-taking. I think they got spooked a little bit by what Chenault did in that game.
He did it to everybody until he got hurt.
Right. Right. So, you know, was that valid or not? But I think they dialed things back a little bit in terms of how creative they were. They thought they could get with this defense at this point.
It's Brandon Vogel, Mark Kranak, Chris Schmidt, Hail Varsity Radio. Weekend edition. We're in the rail yard here in the Hail Varsity offices. Don't forget Real Red Reaction coming up with Nick Gregeth, the Bill Hooks. They'll get you rocking right after Nebraska, Michigan State. A reminder, your friends at Madonna Proactive, the biggest sale of the year, is continuing. You pay nothing till January. Madonna Proactive, so awesome. Got there yesterday, got some swimming in. Tell you what, 56th and Pine Lake, madonnaproactive.org. Give them a shout and take the tour today, 402-420-0000. You pay nothing till 2019 when you get signed up. Full access to the amazing fitness facility. That's cardio, that's strength training. That's 130 classes to help get that tailgate bod reformed. It's okay. They have three pools. They have a basketball court Kranak can launch threes at. They have pickleball. Brandon Vogel can take your money. And it is just incredible. What I'm telling you is, when you get signed up, you get to sit down with their wellness coach. You get to sit down with their registered dietitian. And you also get to spend time with a certified personal trainer to get a workout plan for you. The AquaTrack is something that Madonna Proactive has that no one else has. And your friends at Madonna use it for therapy. Plus, if you're trying to rehab, trying to get better, they have that for you. It is wonderful to improve strength, balance, and endurance. Get signed up. Pay nothing till January 2019 with Madonna Proactive. A quick timeout. The Rewind is next. And it's Lamar Jackson, cornerback for Nebraska. That's on the way with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
A few minutes here, Hail Varsity Radio. We say hi to Lamar Jackson, rocking his South Park sweatshirt. Cartman's mellowed over the years, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of fell off South Park over the years as well. I kind of grew up watching and stuff like that, but yeah, it's a cool little sweatshirt.
What's your reaction if I tell you I saw episode one of South Park in my dorm room when I started at Nebraska?
Dang, South Park came a long way. That's how I see it, yeah.
Talk to me about Saturday, another win, another five takeaways. What was kind of your mindset going in against a guy like A.J. Bush, as athletic as he is. What was your approach?
My approach was just like any week, just make sure I do my job to the best of my ability. When it comes to just preparing for each week, each game, I prepare more for the wideouts rather than the quarterback, because at the end of the day, I feel like each quarterback in the Big Ten should be able to make all the throws, should be able to put the ball where only the receiver can get it. So I prepare mostly for the wideouts, just knowing their tendencies and stuff like that. So I feel like I was prepared for what they had to offer and stuff like that, and I feel like I matched up pretty well. But AJ, he kind of scrambled and stuff like that, but you just got to tackle that. That's going to happen. He just gifted.
He is gifted, big physically, very fast, and you guys were able to clamp down on that Illinois offense. Lamar Jackson's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. So Lamar, let's go back here, and I know you've touched on it before, but I haven't had a chance to sit down with you. Your growth, man, the roller coaster that this season's been. What were you kind of expecting going into the year, and then you had some adversity, and you're playing great football. Take us through this winding road.
It's been. I had a plan from the beginning to now. I mean, I just kind of the biggest thing for me is just never losing sight, never losing focus of the goal or the plan. So like I feel like even when adversity hit and stuff like that, I had some decisions to make. I feel like everything that I did, I handled it the right way. I handled it like a pro. I handled it like a man. So I feel like that was able to help me come out this end on a positive end. So I was able to talk to my coaches. We got on the same page, stuff like that. And we had a little disputes and a little perception versus reality. So once we was able to see eye to eye, and they knew that I really cared for this program, and I really it was me. I'm more selfless than selfish. I mean, I had no problem, like I said before, just working and getting back to where I was. And at the end of the day, like my plan was always to dominate, and that just kind of helped me. That kind of helped me focus up a little bit more. I mean, I kind of was doing it before, but going through that and just seeing like what it feels like to not be on the field, I just made sure that I never want to do that again. I wanted to make sure I go out there and not only get my spot back, but just show that this team needs me as well as I needed to do it for myself. So
you got your spot back, and you're playing great football. Back to that conversation with you and Chins and Coach Frost. Where did the perception misunderstanding start? Was that your end? Was that something that there wasn't communicated by them? I mean, it all came out fine, but I'm just talking about just the ability to sit down and talk it out.
Yeah, I mean, it came from just the on-the-play situation. I mean, when I first got benched, it came from just me dancing after a penalty. I mean, and just from just no excuse, but me just justifying that situation. I mean, I was kind of talking. I knew better. Like, I was talking back and forth to the sideline. They was in my ear. They called me out my name, all that good stuff. But, I mean, I kind of told myself, like, you shouldn't be talking to them. So, me, not really, not coach not knowing, so this ain't coach fault. This really just my fault. Just, like it's my fault. But at the end of the day, like, but, yeah, I wasn't really dancing to be selfish or anything like that, or just to say forget the penalty. I was kind of dancing really just to distract myself from the sideline, just to know like that's just who I am, because I wear my sleeve on emotion. I don't know if they knew, but like once they got me, they got me. So I was at that point, it was too late. So I finally realized, like, okay, stop talking to him. And then me coping with that was me dancing, and coach didn't see it that way. But once even that situation, it was kind of just more just like just how I go about everything, meetings, being around, walking around, talking to my teammates, stuff like that. He just wanted me to do more. It came down to just really just wanted me to bring guys with me, just knowing my potential, knowing my what influence I had on the team. So that's all it really was. He just wanted more from me at the end of the day, and I understand where he was coming from. And like I said, we got closer, and I was able to do exactly what he asked me. And then, I mean, ever since then, we've been on the up. Our relationship's better than ever. So
when a coach says, man, I need more from you, does that kind of make you stop and smile like, wow, I'm important?
Yeah. I mean, no. I mean, it doesn't make me smile. It kind of just it just validates my hard work and my talent and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I also have flaws that we recognize. So, like, it ain't like that I was perfect, and I know I'm not perfect. But, like, at the end of the day, like, just your coach, rather than saying nothing at all or just not doing anything at all, him asking me to do more is really just showing me that he expects more and that he think I can handle more. So like and I thought the same. So he just kind of just woke me up a little bit and just told me to do more. Like, I'm a junior now. I ain't no freshman. I ain't no sophomore. It's more than just me. And at the end of the day, if the defense is balling, we kind of helping everyone succeed and helping change everyone's life in the back end from wherever. So yeah, we all in this together, and that's what I had to learn. Just take people with me and just show and lead by example each week.
A few minutes here. Lamar Jackson's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Lamar, great play in the end zone against Ohio State. Where's your confidence at right now? The way you're playing is apparent. Just guys that cover the team, fans that watch the team, they're kind of, wow, you're playing at a high level. But from a personal standpoint, was there a moment that things flipped for you as far as to go kind of ball out like you have been?
Yeah, just the fact that like me just knowing that this season, even though like it's going how it's going, like, we 3-7 or whatever it may be, but at the end of the day, I also know that each week someone's watching it, each week that I'm putting my resume on film. So that kind of was the biggest thing, just me helping me and my coaches talking, and he just telling us like each week, like it doesn't matter what happened, you putting what you put on film, and I just want to make sure I never put nothing bad on film. And then like I said, coming through all that adversity and stuff like that, I want to be the best. I want to be great. So I've been like I hold myself to, like I tell myself before each game that like I don't want no one to catch the ball. So any catch, any little thing, I mean that's just where I'm at right now. And then like you said, that play in Ohio State, that kind of just that's just some gratification to just my hard work. I mean, because I know interceptions, stuff like that's gonna come. I got to play football, and now it's one of them situations that I was able to get rewarded for my hard work. So like, I appreciate all those, and I just expect to get a couple more before this thing ends.
The transition, because I remember talking to you and your coach when you committed to Nebraska. Fantastic athlete between the quarterback thing, the safety thing, and now you had to, I mean, you're a good enough athlete to transition day one to corner. What was that like for you going from safety to corner? I mean, and how was it frustrating? Was it just something that helped you grow? I mean, were you able to process that okay as far as deal with that change? Because it's not easy to go from safety to corner.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not easy. And really the hardest thing is really going from offense to defense. I mean, people don't understand that. Like this,
how much defense did you play compared to the offense in high school? Was it 50-50 even? Or
it was probably about 95% offense. I played defense strictly at like camps and tournaments and like 7-on-7 and stuff like that. But when it came to football, that's where I got all my defensive buzz at. And then like when I was first getting recruited, like as a quarterback, I was playing strictly quarterback freshman, sophomore year. And then Boise State actually came to the school and told my coach, like, we see him play safety, blah, blah, blah. He can be a DB. Literally the next week, I moved over to play corner for our team. I moved to running back instead of quarterback. And then they let me play some defense. So I played corner. And then literally that next week, I got two interceptions, and then the following week I got an offer. So I mean, once that happened, it was kind of like it was apparent at that point, like I can be a DB. And then I had a lot of we got a great training DB training where I'm from, so like I kind of got with those guys, stuff like that, and they seen it. And then I kind of always like once they got in my ear and I talked to people that actually knew the game and looked at my body type and stuff like that, they told me like it's a lot of money playing DB where like with your size and your intangible stuff like that. So at that point I knew that's where I wanted to be, was in the NFL. So if that was my best chance of getting there, I had no choice. But yeah, I'm improving. That's what I'm saying. I'm finally learning the tricks. I'm finally learning what to do. I'm finally getting this corner stuff. So that's really another big thing. Just me finally knowing the tricks, knowing how to finesse the game a little bit and really play DB. So I'm just learning each year. I'm getting better each year. So I'm getting it.
Well, Coach Fish, too, with his experience, man, I mean, tell me some of these secrets he shared with you about playing corner.
I mean, he's great. I mean, especially like when I'm playing on the near sideline, Coach Fish, he constantly tell me, like, you know, this is coming, that's coming, do this, give me a step back, square your feet. I mean, just the little things. He trying to line me up and put me in situations to make a play, like the certain stuff that he expects, that he thinks is coming and stuff like that. So most of the time he's right. I mean, and then other than that, I mean, he's still not wrong. But yeah, most of the time he's right, and sometimes it actually do help a lot. And then so yeah, it's just the little things, him actually knowing. And when we out there, I feel like he truly put himself in our shoes, so that's why he's so emotional when it comes to us making mistakes and stuff like that, because he don't understand it. Like you should do your job pretty much. So he hold us at a high level, so we make sure we try to play at a high level as well.
Lamar Jackson's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. The back shoulder throw, that's almost an impossible play to defend. Mm-hmm. How difficult is it to play defensive back in college? I know you watch the NFL too. You breathe on a wideout, there's a flag, it feels like, or it seems like. But the back shoulder, how have you worked on defending that play?
You got to just expect it. I mean, know what area of the field you're on, know if they can run away from you, know if the quarterback going to put some air on it, or if the team that like back shoulder, kind of, you all just see it through the week watching film. Coaches will remind you, like, yeah, this is a back shoulder team and stuff like that. So, I mean, but at the same time, you kind of feel it. I'm playing DB at a high level now. I feel like I'm starting to feel stuff. I'm starting to see stuff. So, like, I know when someone's trying to lean or get a back shoulder, or if they looking early and I'm just going right into their chest. And it's a certain technique you play, how you play a back shoulder, and then I know when to play that technique. So
What do you think of Sparty coming in? Michigan State, a lot of history between Nebraska, Michigan State. You were on the team back in 15 with the upset over Michigan State.
Oh, see, actually, that was my official. I was in high school. I didn't come here until 16.
My fault.
Yeah, but yeah, that was my official. I watched B. Riley come in and get that last touch, second touchdown, so it erupted. That was part of the reason why I came, because I seen this place erupt and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm happy they're here. I mean, like I say, each week, I mean, they're a good team. I mean, like Coach said, these next two teams, they're both good teams. But if we play how we're supposed to play and play at a high level, execute and stuff like that on both sides of the ball, we should have no problem with winning or at least competing in both these games. So we preparing and we plan on giving them a fight in our house. So
last thought, when did that NFL, that drive to be in the league, when did that start for you? Because I know you have high expectations of yourself. When did that become real?
As of lately, like how I see it is, like, I mean, I'm here and I'm living in the moment, of course, and I'm here. I'm most likely to be back for my senior year and stuff like that. So I want this thing to grow. I want this thing to go on the up. But like at the end of the day, this is also the closest I've ever been to my dream. So like it's kind of hard not to know that or not to really think about that when, like, in your near future. Because like I said, I've been playing football since I was 5. My mom used this as a way to discipline me, and I learned to love it. I didn't love it. I learned to love it. It used to be just fun. It's something I did. I never even had college dreams until I got offered. So I'm just taking steps growing up with this game and this game, and I know what this game can do for me and my family. So it's really up to me. So I plan on, I just want to make sure I can make that happen. So, yeah.
So senior year is going to be, you're back for it?
Yeah, most likely, yeah.
Okay. And as far as leaving earlier, who did you talk to about that? Or did you just spend time talking with peers or coaches or both?
A little bit of everything. I mean, I kind of like, I mean, at this point, like junior year, senior year, you kind of know people reaching out, people telling you certain stuff like that, where you at, stuff like that. And even like, they, like people even tell me, like, send my stuff in and see where my projection end up. But like at the end of the day, I plan on being back because I know what I can receive, like when it comes to the next level, if I'm back for my senior year. So, and it's something that's hard to pass up. So like that's what I'm, so like, so that's the main reason, just knowing that like if I stay 4 years next year, I can do exactly plus more of what I wanted and what I dreamed of and stuff like that. So as long as I stay healthy and it's in God's plan. So, I mean, of course, I'm all for that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Lamar, be good, man. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, appreciate you.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back one final time this hour, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We're here for the weekend edition inside the Hail Varsity offices, the balcony area of the rail yard. Real Red Reaction coming up right after Nebraska-Michigan State. Gregathan Hooksey, Cardiac Katie is checking out the candy dish. Buckeye Joe, again, is searching for Fireball. Brandon Vogel is watching an incredible 4K TV that's in the office.
It's curved.
It is very curved.
It makes such a difference when it's curved.
It is really not a bad spot to watch a game in here.
I don't know what the whole curved thing is about, but I do like it every time I see it.
It is good. Big thanks to Lamar Jackson for giving us a few minutes today.
You humanized him there, Chris.
As we re-aired that from Monday. Good to talk with him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a million miles a minute, isn't he? He could probably win some sort of like contest in terms of how many words a minute
he does a great out. Job of articulating where he was coming from with his staff, with his expectations, and then just the fact that, yeah, he played defensive back in 7-on-7 camps.
I know.
And then he starts at Nebraska.
Yeah. Yeah.
Phenomenal athlete.
Good athlete. You want to see the physicality ramp up. You've seen signs of that happen this year.
He's done a good job of playing more physical the last few years and said he'll be back for his senior year. That's
breaking news.
Well, not really. He wants he so desperately wants to get to the NFL. And I hear that. A lot of dudes' dreams. And Coach Fisher and him have been doing a good job of working together. Brandon Vogel back with us here in about 10 minutes as we'll get hour two kicked off. The Iron Horse, Gary Sharp, going to be with us. It is senior day. Be loud and send these seniors out the right way as Sparty comes to town. The wind will be a mother.
Ugh.
... It is going to be an issue. It is cold, but it is Big Ten football weather. Big thanks to Colton Stone for rocking and rolling. He had a late night covering high school football last night, so he's back at the studio. A quick timeout. Hour two on the way with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmitz.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Great to have you back. Hour 2, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We're here in the Hail Varsity offices, weekend edition, on the balcony in the rail yard, and going to get things fired up here shortly. The rail yard is a place to be. I know it's a bit cold, but plenty of places to get something to warm you up. Brandon Vogel, Chris Schmidt. Kranak is on a coffee run, and he'll be back shortly with some delicious wake-up juice. As speak of the devil, here comes Kranak. Game day is at Central Florida today. And how about Mackenzie Milton's take on Notre Dame?
it was pretty great. Yeah, I think it was from Matt Hayes. Bleacher Report did a profile on him where Mackenzie Milton said, you know, turn on the UCF Pittsburgh tape and turn on the Notre Dame Pittsburgh tape. Yeah, UCF destroyed Notre Dame. UCF destroyed Pittsburgh. Notre Dame beat Pittsburgh by a field goal, I think. So Matt Hayes.
Tight ball game.
Yeah, Matt Hayes asked Mackenzie Milton, so you're saying there's no difference between UCF and Notre Dame? And he said, oh, I see a difference. We're better. And I loved it.
Good old Mac. Call it a shot. Bama's favored by 51. Clemson by 28.5. Notre Dame 10.5, Michigan 28 over Indiana, Georgia. Did I see that right? Minus 41 against Ole Miss?
UMass.
Okay. Little difference. And again, we need my vision is poor, but it's a curved TV, so it looked I saw the miss part.
You're making excuses now.
I am. Okay. can tweet at us this morning and give us a follow at Hail Varsity, at Brandon L. Vogel, at Mark Skurs, at Greg Smith HV, as Greg's rocking some recruiting. You and Greg just did a Facebook Live, Vogues. And find me on Twitter at Schmidt_radio. The Iron Horse Gary Sharp's coming up in about 20 minutes or so. Guys, let's get into the beauty pageant contest today. That being not the weather, but what side of the ball can be prettier, more effective, Nebraska's defense or Michigan State's offense. It's Big Ten weather. It's going to be a smash-mouth football game. Those are the two sides of the ball that aren't helping the other side of their team's football team when it comes to complementary play. Who wins it today? Is Nebraska's defense strong enough against a very, very battered and beleaguered offense? Or does Michigan State's offense have enough left in the tank to be able to run on Nebraska and do just enough with obvious help from that Sparty D?
Well, Michigan State's already one-dimensional. The wind is going to further cement that. It's windy outside. It is not good. Don't know if that'll continue at game time, but if it does,
oh, it'll be worse.
It'll severely hamper passing games today. And that's a passing game that's already hampered. All right. Now,
it's already bad.
Hayward's a decent back. And, you know, so what Michigan State will employ is kind of the classic Big Ten approach, right? Just keep hammering away, and pretty soon those 2-yard gains become 4-yard gains. And so they'll stick to it like that all game, which is why I like the fact that it's senior day today, because to withstand that, you got to dig deep a little bit. You have to be comfortable getting bruised all game long and then still find a way to stay interested and keep coming at it. Nebraska will have that emotional boost with senior day today. So I don't see Michigan State getting loose with a ton of yards today at all. But I do see them able to control some clock and putting a little bit more pressure on Nebraska's offense every time they get the ball. But I don't know. I cannot envision Michigan State topping 21. Right?
I don't know. I mean, I think you're right on. There's no way that this offense should come in and put up anything above teens, right? I mean, yeah. Based on what they've done. I mean, they put up six against Ohio State, 24 against Maryland, 23 against Purdue. I come back to, though, is the fact that they held Purdue to 13. The fact that they held Michigan's offense, which isn't awesome, but it's better, to 21 in a rivalry game. They held Penn State to 17 when McSorley was healthy.
McSorley got loose on the ground against them, though, too.
And to be honest with you, they held Ohio State's offense to 9 points of the 26. The rest of it was generated by defense. So,
teens might be the key number. I think they've won every time they've scored over 20 this year.
Mm. Yeah, they have. Mm. All six times. So I wanted to ask about Nebraska's offense. You mentioned pressure.
Yeah.
Which strength stands firm today? Nebraska's offense, they've been rolling. Yeah. They've had to carry a lot of the water. They've had to outscore or put up points, points, points. They welcome that. They just ask the defense to get them the football. That's kind of what the request line's been like. Yeah. Michigan State's defense has answered the bell every time this year. They have bounced back. They lose to Northwestern. They win at Penn State. Okay. They lose to Michigan. They go annihilate the hottest team in college football at the time in Purdue. They just lost to Ohio State thanks to some bad play calling and not taking care of the football. What do they do in Lincoln?
They've got a good shot. I mean, everything is setting up from the color of the sky to the wind, which Mark mentioned earlier, just out there to it be a classically Big Ten game, which is interesting because Nebraska's offense is no longer classically Big Ten. I mean, I don't know that it ever was. Got there a little bit towards the Riley era. But Greg and I were talking about this on the Facebook Live. You know, Divine Azigbo's story to this point is so good. Well, what better way than a classic Divine Azigbo game on senior day? Like, this is one where I think if the passing game is hampered, and it looks like it will be to some degree, I'm confident in Nebraska's ability to run the ball because Adrian Martinez, he just changes the math up there with how you fit against a running quarterback. And I still think Divine Azigbo could be the biggest beneficiary of that. This feels like a game tailor-made for him. So I think Nebraska will find ways to run the ball, and they'll be okay.
And you look at what Nebraska has going for that. I think the way you're going to beat Michigan State is likely not to play offense how Michigan State plays offense, which is just line up and try to hammer it at them. It's not going to happen for you. They're not going to let you do that. You have to out-scheme them to some degree. You have to catch them slipping. You have to start training some guy to whenever you see X look to try to defend it that way and then figure out a way to exploit that. And you have Frost. I'm confident in saying this by now. I think his sample size is enough that you have a top three schemer and play caller on your side. You know, you saw what he did when it was Oregon, Michigan State, when they were playing for significant
parts
of...
That was an insane Sparty team. They won the Big Ten. They won the Rose Bowl. They went 14-1.
And he ultimately picked him apart.
On a year. I think I'm a year late on that. Point is nobody in that era of Spartan defense put up 20. He put up 49.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You have to out-scheme those guys, and Frost is one of the best schemers in the country right now. I really feel confident in saying that. I don't think that's homerism. I think the guy just he gets it. I think it's probably the whole offensive staff, the way they collaborate on how they design a game plan and all that. So you have that, and look, whenever this Frost offense looks good, it's not just you're overpowering people. Or you're just running by people. It is that you have caught somebody like fundamentally slipping.
And your touchdown's not just a big play, but it's a wide open big play.
All of Azigbo's big runs, save for that one against Illinois last week where he just trucked a guy in the secondary and kept going.
Yep.
The rest of them, I mean, nobody's come within a yard or two of even touching him.
Or Stanley getting deep, right?
He's just out of there. And look, that's what Nebraska's doing. And that won't happen early, I don't think. And that's another thing that's going to be interesting about today is Nebraska's had really good success recently on that opening drive, and that kind of sets a tone. It's a lot tougher sledding against a really good Michigan State defense that I don't know if you can count on that today at all.
Yeah. I was talking to former Husker friend of the show, Jay Moore, earlier this week about, like, what is it? Like, what is it about the play calling or scheme that really makes Nebraska go here? And he's like, a defense is always going to give you something. Like, they're going to, you know, through their alignment, they're going to tell you what they're willing to live with. And Frost is excellent at exploiting that. He says, okay, that's what you will let us do. Like, we'll go there.
And we'll beat you with it.
Yep. We can kind of do a little bit of everything. And it's, you know, I mean, it's more complicated than that, but you could also kind of get it down to it's almost as simple as that.
That said, the weather today
yep.
puts one hand behind your back a little bit. Frost mentioned something earlier. I thought it was interesting in the press conference that he mentioned about Martinez, where he's like, you know, even with the wind, Martinez throws such a tight ball that I'm not that concerned. Like, that's how detailed he's thinking mm-hmm. about it, to where that thing better be just howling. And, you know, people better be blowing off of the East Stadium balcony today for him to probably take the air out of the ball. I think he's still going to try to throw it. It's whether or not, you know, it's how effective it is. It's whether or not you got the wind to your back versus going into it. All those things will factor in. But I don't see him taking the air out of the ball, because Michigan State is, like Brandon said, you're going to give up something. And I don't think Frost will be able to just sit there. If they're willing to give up, say, the deep pass,
right,
Frost isn't going to just let that sit there because it's windy.
Here is where I think you got a great 1-2 punch in this offense, and you've seen Nebraska get chunk plays out of it, and they've not been long, intricate routes. They've been short little sideline outs where you get yak yards after yep. the catch. And what you can do, and we'll get to Spielman here in a second, but with Adrian's ability to move, the ability to pull and run, or just zone read and run, but also as good as he's been, and I think of the Ohio State game, because of their pass rush and their front four, they did a great job of picking spots to roll him out, and he was good on the run throwing the football, man. That's something you take for granted and you never should. He's very comfortable on the move throwing the football. He can do that today, where every time he rolls can be run pass option. Do you stick a spy on him or not? And you can have your run game Green Bay Packers style today, in whether you're with the wind or against the wind, and take the 4 to 5 little dump offs. And you saw parts of it this season with the just little quick out to the tight end. You can get Stoll or you can get Allen open and find some ways to get 2nd and 6 or 2nd and 5. Nebraska, the last few games, even in Ohio State, they've been so good. And they did a lot of it with Ziggy on first down mm-hmm. or quarterback run on first down. But when they've thrown on first down, they've been very, very good at success and successful at getting a completion. So you've rarely seen 2nd and 10s. At least I don't remember seeing many of those the last – since this thing flipped post-Purdue.
Yeah, you know, it's I almost wonder if you'll see – if you remember, like, the opening quarter and a half of the Wisconsin game. Mm-hmm. You know, Nebraska spends a lot of time in 5 wide and empty, and they'll motion guys uh-huh. back in and motion guys out. But that was a lot of passes to the sideline. You know, they were trying to get JD involved early, and they were trying to, you know, get those guys running back and forth and loosen them up a little bit. Weather permitting, like, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw a little bit of that in the opening to this game. You know, try and go about it that way. And, you know, we still don't know if JD's going to go.
Let's go there for a sec. What's your gut say on that? Here's how I'm reading Vegas, because this thing went from Sparty -2.5 to Nebraska's now favored by 1.5, right? That's the latest line. Two things flip that. One, I'd be – and this is no obvious inside info. I don't have, you know, Coach D'Antonio on speed dial. I think he's probably going to go with Lombardi. And I think because of that shaky experience, I think that could sway some points, mm-hmm. as hurt as Lewarke is. Or you can counter and say, well, he's going with Lewarke. Well, that's not good either. Either way, it's a tough spot for Michigan State at quarterback. But two, I mean, JD's worth a lot, and I think he'll go, just based on how the line movement is. Sparty's decided on a quarterback. Vegas feels like it's the wrong quarterback, and JD, there may not be a right quarterback, and JD's going to give it a go today. We don't have any inside info, but just looking at the line change, aside from money pouring in on whoever, that's kind of my take on it. I think Spielman will go. He has been able to manage his health, and he's played hurt, and he's played dinged up, and he's played like a warrior.
And you only got a couple games left, and then you got an offseason coming up. Mm-hmm. So unless it's something that requires surgery or something like that, I tend to agree. Now, how effective will he be? Who knows? But I've yet to see him on the field where he's not.
No,
he's, even when he's dinged up, he's a plus player.
His effectiveness has been, you've not seen as much like after the catch from him, but man, you've seen separation and him getting open.
Yeah, he's a great route runner. You know, you can even if you're dinged up a little bit and you're maybe not at top speed, like through technique, you can get open. And he's always been good at that, and he's still good at that even if he's at less than 100%.
Well, we're talking Nebraska, Michigan State, Hail Varsity Radio, weekend edition. We're here in the rail yard. Weekend edition got kicked off at 7 this morning. We'll have a podcast of the show up. If you're making your way into the stadium or need a halftime break, go ahead and fire that up. Brandon Vogel, Mark Kranak, a couple of thoughts here. When you look at Michigan State, let's focus here on the Nebraska offensive line against that Spartan defensive line. What type of day does Foster and Farmer have as they go out? Foster had some problems last week.
Now, one of those holding calls on him was actually not on him. It was actually on Farmer.
Okay.
But they called it on, I think it was Farmer, either Farmer or Hymus. Regardless.
You had two drives.
When they showed the replay, it clearly was not. I mean, there was no chance it was being called on Foster. It was called on someone else. He's the one that got dinged for it, so it sounds like he had a horrible game. But he really only had the one holding penalty against him. Like, that's what actually happened. You would think, kind of throw out all the cliches. Senior day, you've put in all your time and effort, and today, I would expect them to play well. And they know they have played against Michigan State. They know what they're in for today. Nothing's going to surprise them about the physicality or the approach that Michigan State, you know, takes on defense. They've seen it before. Although they haven't played a lot, these are Nebraska guys that know what that team's all about. And they've seen Michigan already this year. They're not going to see anything like that again. I think they'll be ready to go physically. I think Nebraska's offensive line has, I don't know if it's become a strength, but I don't think it's a weakness.
No, it's not. It's no longer a weakness.
No, I think it's a fairly competent group. I think they're pretty experienced with one another now. Mm-hmm. And I think they know what they're up against today. And so I think they'll be ready to go.
Rushing yards.
I feel pretty good about it. You know, we talked about Azigbo a little bit ago and just how Adrian changes that. You know, the Michigan State-Nebraska series has been strange.
You wrote about it.
Oh, man.
In this regard, run defense is what Michigan State does. Top 25, I think, in 7 of the past 8 years, something like that. I'm forgetting what I pulled together yesterday. But it's something like that, you know. And you have these games in 2012 where – Taylor Martinez goes crazy. They rush for 7.5 yards per carry against a defense that ended up giving up like 3. You had, I think, 5 yards a carry in 2013 against an offense that gave up less than – or defense gave up less than 3. And Michigan State's won a couple of those battles too. But for whatever reason – and I know none of those teams have anything to do with this one, but Nebraska's just kind of found a way against Michigan State more often than not. You had that – you know, that 2013 game was the 5 turnover game. So even though Nebraska ran on them better than anybody would have expected, you still lost. So there's still the room for that, but I think they'll be okay in the run game.
Nebraska's offense, when they've had a spread attack, has just Nebraska as a team has done things to really good Spartan defenses that no one's done to them.
Yeah.
And it's been the mobile quarterback that has been the catalyst for that. I think Adrian will have a big day. He needs to be efficient, obviously. What I fear, though, is just that one play that can change the game, and that is going to be one of those strip sack, short field, points are at a premium, and the Spartan defense shows up the one time they have to.
See, that's a great, great point, because I think no matter what happens today, you're not going to see Nebraska's offense erupt and put up 40. I don't think. Maybe they will, but that defies all logic that they would do that today. So, like you said, turnovers matter all the time, of course, in any game, but especially this one, because Michigan State is going to take the air out of the ball. Clock is going to tick quite a bit today. Nebraska's defense, not fantastic, so Michigan State probably will drive it a little bit. Clock is just going to tick, which puts so much more pressure on every time Nebraska gets the ball. If you're looking at a day where Nebraska has even two turnovers, that is scary. Really scary. I think you can maybe afford one. I think you better button up on special teams too. Nebraska's not going to be able to get as many snaps off as they want to.
Yep.
That's not going to happen today. So if that's not going to happen, you got to really maximize those chances. Nebraska's also going to get quite a few three and outs. Like, that's going to happen today. Their offense isn't going to just drive Michigan State off the field. Not in these conditions, not against that caliber of defense. So it's one of those things where really every possession matters. You're turning it over more than once today, I think you're in trouble.
Whose punter wins today? Field position is huge. Sparty's on kicker number 4 or 5. and see what type of day Armstrong can have. I want to remind you about buckling up. Something's got to stop. Motion and airbags aren't enough. The seatbelt can do it. What do you want stopping you, a seatbelt or the windshield? And seatbelts prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and your body need to slow down in a hurry. That applies whether you're in the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Brandon Vogel. We're inside here at Hale Varsity's offices, the rail yard where we're at for the weekend edition. Mark Kranak, Chris Schmidt, a quick timeout. The Iron Horse will join us, Gary Sharp, on the way with Hale Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
Excellent strategy, sir.
Back with you, weekend edition, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. No passing out on Senior Day. That is a rule. Mark Kranak, Chris Schmidt, great to be with you. We're down here in the rail yard at the Hale Varsity offices on the balcony. It's cold. It's windy. It's Iron Horse weather. We say hi to Gary Sharp. Sharpie, good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, good morning. This is the weather that we all signed up for when Nebraska joined the Big Ten.
Yes, right? The breath coming out of the face mask, that type of scene in one's mind's eye. Sharpie, what's today come down to, man? Give me a couple, 3 points you're interested in, and you've got circled.
Hey, I think this is – I haven't used the word for a while because I don't think it's been important after the first 6 weeks or so. But I think on both sides of the ledger, Michigan State, Nebraska, this is a culture-type game. Michigan State has a way to win these type of games when no one expects them to, and they're down, and you're wondering about who's playing and who's not playing. Michigan State wins these games, i.e. earlier this year against Penn State. For Nebraska, and it's crazy, guys, there's been a lot of chatter, and it feels like the good days when there was so much attention to the upcoming week, and you have a 3-7 and 6-4 team. And Nebraska feels good about themselves, enough that their head coach said, we're a dangerous team. So Nebraska has now crossed into – in this season, we expect to win the football game. Not, okay, let's go out there and let's see how we look. We expect to win the football game. I was surprised that it started the line, had them as an underdog. I like Nebraska today, but I think this is a little bit of a culture because Michigan State wins these type of games. That's who they are. Nebraska's trying to establish. They win these kind of games in November because that's who they are. I think this is a fascinating matchup with so many storylines that are inside of the game that will unfold at 11 o'clock this morning.
Gary Sharp with us on Hale Varsity Radio. Gary, wouldn't you say that's one of the best things the staff has done this year is toe that line between changing everything yet not necessarily disrespecting the guys that are already here and somehow keeping this thing together? I mean, how this thing hasn't gone off the rails is truly remarkable, I think. Just your comments on the job that the staff has done with that component.
Well, I think it took a little bit for these guys, the guys in the headsets, to understand the guys in the helmets and vice versa. And I think the first part of October, they crossed that threshold where everybody understood what the message was and how to get to the end result. And I think things changed. And, you know, we've gone through a lot of senior classes of late at Nebraska where guys that had fairly good careers disappear. Schmitty works with a guy that unfortunately was part of a senior class on a team that wasn't very good and we didn't like the coach, that hardly gets talked about, but he is one of the better players in the last 10, 12 plus years, and that's Jay Moore. Guys, look, has anybody ever stopped you and said lately, hey, what's Jordan Westerkamp doing? Hey, what's DeMornay Personnel doing? These seniors, they're different. You're going to hear a loud roar for Stanley Morgan, even a louder roar for Divine Azigbo, Nick Stoltenberg, especially a guy like Luke Gifford, Gerald Foster, guys that have hung around with three different head coaches for some of them, a lot of different coordinators, and they persevered. And I think Tanner Farmer, actually, with all of the interesting stories of seniors and what they've done, Tanner Farmer is actually one of the – he's like the poster child of this senior class. Because Tanner Farmer, of course, made some impassioned speeches at the beginning of the year. And then he didn't play so well. And then he grumbled a little bit that this is hard. Practice is hard. I'm tired. It's early in the year. And then what happened? He got moved to center. He didn't talk as much. He played harder. And Nebraska solidified some things. So I think the seniors deserve a big tip of the cap. But I think it just came down to it took a while for everybody to understand your strengths, your weaknesses, and what the end goal is. And because of that, these seniors have shown through their work ethic that things can be done and you can get the result and you can get the feeling that you have that Nebraska currently has. And it's amazing, guys, because Nebraska is still a 3-7 football team, but you feel a lot better about where they're going than most teams in your own division.
Well, that's a great point. As wacky as the West is, and Nebraska's record is what it is, they are the team that's playing arguably the best football right now, aside from Northwestern, who just wins close ball games within the Big Ten. Gary Sharp's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Sharpie, I think that's an outstanding point about the work ethic that these seniors have had and always kind of kept to. And then they found a way to dig deeper because this staff introduced them that, guys, you can do more. You can work harder. And it's worked out. These next two games, from a momentum standpoint, going to be a tough ball game, and Michigan State's still good. But from a long-term momentum springboard standpoint, Gary, it's been a long time since November's ended in Nebraska's favor. They were right there against Ohio State. You can finish it out the right way. Does the progress like slow down or halt if Nebraska splits these next two or doesn't get a win today?
No, I don't think the next two games have any impact on what Nebraska is going to do moving forward. I think what it does, because there's already going to be a heightened sense of excitement for 2019.
Right.
If Nebraska happens to finish off at 2-0, then it just ramps up and it's full bore for the next time that September rolls around. But I think November is a key month. I've said this since Scott was hired, and I saw who he hired as a strength and conditioning coach. Nebraska wants to get back to games in November matter, and they get better as the season goes along. Well, you might not think for a team that's not going to go to a bowl game that these two games don't matter. These games matter, and look it. You have guys this week, and I mean, it's a long season. I mean, it's now year-round for football, and your body takes a beating. There are very few guys on this roster that say, man, I'm tired. You heard more guys this week say, the juices are flowing. Plus, we're not talking in November about soft tissue issues. If there have been injuries, you know, they've been injuries that some you can't even avoid. So I think there's a lot in the next two games just on how Nebraska will approach November. Because also, think about this, guys. What is the thing about Scott Frost and his offense that people around the conference say? Weather sucks in November, i.e. what it's going to be like in Lincoln today. Can't run that offense. Yeah, that's why I say it's an ego game for Scott on the headset today to say, you know what, our offense can work anywhere. And if their offense can work back-to-back weeks in not real ideal conditions against Michigan State and Iowa, watch out.
Gary Sharp is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. You know, that said, I think the wind is going to be a pretty big factor today. Let's say it is too much of a factor and the throwing game is hampered so much. Does that lead to a lot of crowing about, oh, this offense is never going to work in the Big Ten? Or is everybody reasonable enough to say, wind like that, you're going to screw up any offense?
Well, go back to last week. The wind was a factor in that game. And Adrian Martinez, actually, a couple of his throws, he played the wind really well. Nebraska was pretty balanced, and they had success. We won't talk about the defense. But on offense, I think they have the ability to adjust. I think a key today for Nebraska on offense is don't get away from your plan, because there's going to be stretches today, because Michigan State is really, really good on defense. And they're going to stop you maybe four straight drives where you're forced into a punt. But, man, when you come out for that fifth drive, you might drive down the field and get points or get a big play. And you can't be living on the chunk plays, because Michigan State doesn't give up a lot of those. So today is a patient day, but I think Nebraska has the scheme enough that they think they can run the football in weather like this. But don't kid yourself. Even with the wind, I still think they'll attempt to throw the football. It might not be finding Stanley Morgan 40 yards down the field, but they'll find a way to put the football in the hands of their playmakers. I just wonder if one of those playmakers is going to be J.D. Spielman full-time today.
Gary Sharp with us on Hail Varsity Radio. You know, Gary, coming into this year and even leaking into the beginning part of the year, I believe it was 20 guys, 19 maybe, that decided to move on, whether transfer, you know, declare for the draft, whatever. But you had 19 to 20 guys leave before their eligibility was exhausted. What about going into next year? Do you think you will see a similar amount, a much lesser amount? How many guys do you think might just move on and say, you know what, this probably isn't for me?
Well, I think there will be more. I don't think it'll be to the extent that we had in the last year. But I think there are others that will realize that this isn't going to work out for them. And it's not, hey, buying into the culture. It's more, I might not get to play, because everybody they're recruiting, they're not looking to build depth. They're looking to grab starters, even if you're an established starter. So I think we will see some guys move on. You know, Caleb Lightborn, boy, after what just happened this past week and what his head coach said, you know, there's a scholarship that probably opens up for somebody who's completely lost their confidence. And unlike last year where he really connected with his position coach, I'm not sure what's happened with Caleb this year, but I do think you'll see some guys move out of the program. I mean, look, they're already talking about how big this recruiting class is going to be, and there's been 30 has been mentioned. So, yeah, I think there'll be some guys that will move on, and I think it'll be more guys moving on just because they see the writing on the wall in terms of playing time, and they want to go somewhere where they can get on the field.
Hey, some quick math, Chris, before you jump in there. It's just, so you brought in, like, I think it was 51 new players. Mm-hmm. If you have a recruiting class of 30 and probably another 20-ish walk-ons, that's another 50. They want to carry 150. So in 2 years' time, barely even that, more like a year and a half.
You get those numbers to where you want it.
You're going to have two-thirds of your roster all new guys. That is just extraordinary roster management.
Well, it is. It is to try and juggle that, but it's guys that come in knowing what you want to do. There's not going to be, not that there's been a ton of it, but there's not going to be any battles.
Yeah.
Right? This is, everybody's on the same page from the get-go, presumably. Gary Sharp's joining us, Hail Varsity Radio, weekend edition. Sharpie, let's talk defense for a minute, and it's been a source of discussion all week, and the defense forced some turnovers, got some momentum-changing, game-changing plays with those turnovers. And where's your gut at right now? Is it scheme? Is it personnel? And where's this defense at in its journey compared to the finish line? I mean, where are they on this path right now? How far away from the finish line is the defense? And I know it's year one, but we're almost towards the end of the year. They've gotten better. They're still allowing quite a few points, but at least they're getting the football.
Well, I think that's a fair question. I think where they're at right now, it's not going to change much just because it's not free agency and you can't go grab some fellows to play today,
right,
or on Friday. And that's pretty evident. We've all talked about there's certain positions where Nebraska lacks depth and they lack some fellows and you have to go get them. And they've identified that and they're going to get them. I think if Nebraska can live in the range of a mid-50s national-type defense, you got a chance, because that's an offense that thinks they can score every time they touch the football. This year's defense in that game against Illinois, which was disturbing, was the missed tackles, the misalignment, the eye discipline, things that when you get to this time of the year shouldn't be happening. But on the other side of that, you could make a case that Nebraska defensively did their job last week. They got some key stops, and they also got the ball back. And Lamar Jackson probably let everybody know where this defense is at, and maybe going forward where the defense is going to be, is we did enough to win. We are kind of like the lottery, where sometimes you hit the lottery, sometimes you lose, and get the ball back to the offense as soon as possible, and don't give up. Don't give up as few points as possible. So that's kind of where the defense is right now. Can it get better? Of course. But it's you're at a place where it's all about the offense and giving the offense the football and finding ways to get stops. Get stops, get turnovers. If there's 16 possessions today, can you force Michigan State into 8 punts and maybe 3 other times where they give the ball back to you? And then there's 3 or 4 of the times where they have opportunities to score. I think you do the math and you'll figure out where the defense is. But I think right now it is what it is, and you have to. We all kind of have to adjust, I think, how we look at defense at Nebraska in the current state with an offense that we've never seen around here like this.
Gary Sharp is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. It's kind of weird to look ahead to next year, but there's only 6 days left in the actual football season, so we might as well. Are you concerned at all about next year's offense replacing guys like Ozigbo and Morgan, who especially in the latter half of this season, those two alone account for probably 3/5 of the offense, somewhere around there? Are you at all concerned that Nebraska's got a couple guys that are playing at such an elite level right now that, you know, good luck replacing them next year?
Well, and you're absolutely right. And I will say this about Ozigbo. Now, remember, these guys didn't know what they had with Devine. And all of a sudden, Devine blew them away. But they think they have the next Devine in Mills coming from junior college. Mm-hmm. And he already has a track record of playing at a high level in Division I with what he did at Georgia Tech. So you think you feel real good about replacing the kind of running back and the things that Devine did for you. Who thought we'd be saying that? That's a tribute to Devine. I'm really, really concerned that the whole package of Stanley Morgan is going to be difficult to replace next year, where you're Troy Walters going into the offseason. You have some candidates, but those candidates have to come a ways. So Stanley's the biggest guy that you have to replace, because there's other elements of not just Stanley catching the football in tight spots and doing other things. It's the Stanley Morgan work ethic and leadership that you got to go find that next guy. And I think the staff knows that, and I think the staff's going to put a challenge out there to find that next type of Stanley Morgan, either on campus or they're going to go find him playing somewhere right now.
Good luck. He's that special.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's generational as far as what he's meant, and got to send him out right if you're a Nebraska fan. It's cold, it's windy, it's Big Ten weather. Kickoff at 11. Sharpie, give me a prediction, if you're okay with that, Nebraska, Michigan State, and give me your lock of the weekend with whatever game you like this weekend.
I've said Nebraska will win 20-17.
Okay.
I think it'll be a rock and sock and Big Ten game where you got to hang in there. There's going to be some lows. There's going to be some brief highs, but this is going to be a 60-minute game. The only caveat is I don't know what we're getting out of Michigan State, guys, in terms of their energy level and where they're at. Offensively, they're a mess. I would play Rocky Lombardi over Brian Lewerke, but, you know, they kind of threw a lot on the plate against Ohio State, and things didn't go well. So what are we getting in here? Because Nebraska will have a lot of bounce, especially initially, energy-wise. But I think Nebraska finds a way to win today, and they win a game that is Big Ten-esque, not Big 12-esque, and they win 20-17. My lock, and this is crazy to say it, because we should not be giving Northwestern a pass. They won the West. I know it's been ugly this year in the division, but I don't see them winning at Minnesota today. And that's crazy to say, because that's a Minnesota team that 2 weeks ago gave up millions of yards to Illinois, fired their defensive coordinator, and then they beat Purdue last week, and I think they beat Northwestern at home today. So that's my lock. It's been a strange season, and it seems, and we say this all the time, no bowl game this year for Nebraska. Gosh, this season went fast. And you split it into two segments, the first 6 games and the last 6 games. Think about it, guys. Nebraska, after starting 0-6, they have a chance to finish 5-1. Who would have thunk it?
Jeez. Absolutely. Sharpie, you're awesome, brother. We'll talk to you, after Turkey Day, next Saturday. But thanks for the time today.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
There is the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp, Hail Varsity Radio, weekend edition. We're down here in the Hail Varsity offices, in the rail yard, the balcony. We were overlooking the cube. We're indoors today. Want to tell you about what happened and started this Wednesday. And never has anything like this happened with your friends at Sauter Heyman. Once in a lifetime deals. And you know, Sauter Heyman's the best and most prestigious jeweler in the area. Now you can save up to 60% on top quality jewelry. Never before savings on anything like this in the store. Sauter Heyman's total inventory liquidation sale. Do not wait. Get down to Sauter Heyman. Best selection today. SauterHeyman.com at South Point and Grand Island only. And when you get there, get signed up to win a free $5,000 one-carat diamond pendant. Ooh. We're talking once in a lifetime. Oh. We're talking the mother of all. And go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. 60% on top quality jewelry, Grand Island and South Point only. Best selection. Get there now. SauterHeyman.com. We'll say goodbye next as we continue on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now back with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranach.
Don't forget to get that Nebraska fan the gift that keeps on giving, Clark. That's Hail Varsity. Bundle it. Think of that Nebraska fan this holiday season with Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. And you can bundle it and smile about it. Online premium content, incredible staff, Mike Babcock, Brandon Vogel, Dr. Petey, Derek Peterson, Greg Smith, Aaron Sorensen. The photography, second to none. The recruiting info, the features, wonderful. Jacob Padilla is tremendous. He is outstanding, great basketball mind. And you can get the latest issue of Hail Varsity Magazine and read that for yourself with Roby on the cover. A great backdrop of the old bracket you're going to fill out. Nebraska, six seed. Boom, I said it. Forgive me. If they don't get there, blame me. Mark Kranach, Chris Schmidt, Brandon Vogel. We're here in the Hail Varsity offices inside the rail yard. And Real Red Reaction coming up as soon as Nebraska, Michigan State get done. Your old pal Nick Gregeth, Bill Hooks, and the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. He'll have a bunch of winners picked today. And they'll take care of you. Your chance to call in, react, Real Red Reaction. Make that an appointment. Listen for you later today. And we want to say thanks to Colton Stone. He pulled a late one last night. And man, oh, man, he's rocking it this morning, and he'll be covering Nebraska a little bit later today. We are about out of time. We'll be back next week, Monday, with Hail Varsity at 4 o'clock. We're off next Thursday and Friday, and we'll be back at it right after for your Cyber Saturday or Small Business Saturday, as it's called. Think of Hail Varsity when you're doing your holiday shopping for Small Business Saturday. Some awesome specials to come with Hail Varsity. Kranach, bundle up, brother.
Yes.
Appreciate you much. Thanks to Colton Stone. Follow him on Twitter at @2birds1stone. Chris Schmidt. We'll talk to you later on with Hail Varsity. Real Red Reaction coming up. Nick Gregeth, Bill Hooks. Be sure to tune in for that. We'll talk next time. Thanks.